like a lifetime? Suffer no more, because in Terminal 2, you have Wingtips, an upscale lounge with all-inclusive drinks, food, and ultimate comfort. If you have work to do, you'll feel like a CEO getting ready for your private plane. That's Wingtips Lounge. And mention you heard this on 590 and get a discount on a single-day pass.
Business travelers in the St. Louis area, listen up. Stop complaining about the amount of time you must spend in the airport. Wingtips Lounge, located in Terminal 2, can remedy your entire travel experience. In lounge restrooms, speedy Wi-Fi, a complimentary offering of food and drinks, and a Fortune 100-style conference room can eliminate the words traveling gets old from your vocabulary. Come on in for a single visit or receive great discounts on personalized memberships. Your travel lounge awaits.
McGuire Moving is now hiring. When you join the McGuire Moving team, you will discover a family atmosphere committed to the same values they practice with their customers. They offer a competitive benefit package along with the potential to grow in a demanding industry. McGuire Moving trusts their team members to consistently provide the exceptional service their customers have counted on for more than 80 years. For a full list of benefits or to apply for employment, visit McGuireMoving.com/career.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here for my friends at Schnucks. It was easy for me to team with Schnucks. I'm from St. Louis, and I'm loyal to our hometown teams. And so is Schnucks. They're a local company that supports other local companies, the farmers and families that nourish our lives and make our community great. Just like the Zimmerman family from Vandalia, Illinois, who grow the best cantaloupe in the Midwest. Schnucks is grown in St. Louis and loyal to local. That's why I'm loyal to Schnucks. Support local and shop at Schnucks.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Television's Doug Vaughn here with another word about Ragazzi's. By now, you know all about the trademark 32-ounce fish bowls that you can have filled with any of your preferred beverages. I've told you about Ragazzi's fast steam table lunches for only $8.95 Monday through Friday. It's the best deal in town. Now I want to tell you that Ragazzi's is open daily at 8 a.m. with a full bar, full menu of all your favorite Ragazzi's dishes, and, of course, the Ragazzi's trademark fish bowls. Enjoy lunch or dinner at Ragazzi's. You will love it. 4945 Daggett on the Hill and Ragazzi's.com.
Yeah. Everybody just increased their speed by 10 miles an hour. This is what I call one of those fast driving songs. When it comes on, you just kind of, blood starts pumping. We're just a minute or two away from Dan Buffa and his TV and movie reviews. And we're going to add something every Tuesday when he's in here. He's an Uber driver. So he's going to have an Uber story for us. It's kind of a separate segment. See, how much more could you want from a radio show? My goodness. And we'll get to both those things after I remind everybody. Dr. Tom Price this morning for quite a while. Business is really good. So thank you. Thank you, AM and the PM people who decided to do your kitchen or bathroom and do it right. And do it. Have somebody do it who wants it as perfect as you do, and that would be Thompson Price. I know there are other kitchen and bath people. I know that sometimes people shop and make a decision just on price, and that sometimes that's a mistake. It's easy to come in at a lower price when the work is cheap. The cabinets are cheaper. Fixtures are cheaper. And it's being done by somebody who's not actually a designer. Thompson Price is in the Kitchen and Bath Hall of Fame. It's not a joke. There is such a thing, and he's in it. He is a certified kitchen and bath designer, and he surrounds himself with really good people. Second generation, his son is also in the business. And look, I get wanting to save money, but in my life, I've learned that sometimes you go the cheap route, and you're sorry. And it doesn't take very long before you realize you've made a mistake. And you're never really completely happy with it. So what did you really do? You saved a few bucks.
and you're not ecstatic. How about spending a little more money and getting every dollar's worth and then loving what you get for, in our case at my house, about 22 years. That's how long ago they did our kitchen. Talk to other people, get some other bids, get some other ideas. That's fine. We're fine with that. They're fine with that. Because I think what you're going to see is the Thompson Price process is a good one, and there's a reason for every question they're going to ask you. And they're going to give you answers to questions you haven't even thought of asking. There's a lot of thought that goes into a kitchen and bathroom remodel by Thompson Price. Anybody can order a refrigerator and some cabinets and sinks and where you're going to put them and why you're going to put them there and why did you choose the ones you chose. And you don't know everything there is to know or every option that's out there, and they don't know until they ask you exactly what you want in a kitchen or a bathroom to make it perfect for you and your family. Thompson Price, the showroom is in De Pere. It's less than a quarter mile east of 270 on the left if you're headed east. And the website is thompsonprice.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go,
Let's go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Get some popcorn and some Milk Duds or Rolos. I like the chocolate Rolos, and I like peanut M&Ms and popcorn and a regular Coke, no diet. Thank you. Or Dr. Pepper. That's what I do when I go to the movies. It's time to check in with Dan Buffett, brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Say hello to... and two segments today, the movie TV thing and an Uber story every week because he's an Uber driver. Give it up for Dan Buffett.
Hey. Thanks, Frank.
Dan, how are you?
It's good to see you guys. How are we doing?
We're doing great.
It's not as hot outside.
Good day today.
It is. It's a good day for movies too. I touched on this last week. Mission Impossible, Fallout, the sixth film. Of course, it was number one. It was the highest grossing Mission Impossible film for opening.
Well, it should have been because it got a ton of pre-opening publicity because
it
of
is.
The stunts.
I mean, and really, and you mentioned stunts. It's a great segue. Is that there's? I'm one of the guys that campaigns for stunt work to be in the Oscars category. Because I think without stunt work, it's not in there. They don't recognize stunt coordinators or crews. And I think if you took away the stunt work from this movie, you just said, okay, guys, we're just going to swap it out, the movie would lose about half its value.
Because even though he did a lot of the stunts, you got to have really good people to teach him how to pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have guys who set... I mean, Wade Eastwood is the stunt coordinator on Mission Impossible.
Is he Clint's boy?
I don't know. I know Scott is his son. I'm not sure Wade, being that he's South African, I doubt it. So I don't think he's related to good old Clint. But he's worked as a stuntman for 20 years. And this was his second film with Tom Cruise. He did The Mummy, which we'll all just forget about. It was terrible. But this movie, the stunt work, there's two things that make Mission Impossible movies really good.
We actually already covered this last week.
We did, but I watched it again. I watched it a second time just to kind of confirm what I saw. Sometimes you watch things and you're excited about the hype factor and you really want to like it. Then you watch it again and you go, okay, maybe that wasn't as good as I thought. Well, I watched it again. I thought it was even better. And it's not just Henry Cavill's bad guy. You know, Superman turning heel and playing against Tom Cruise. They have a couple good fights. But it's really just the stunt work. And I found out that the stunt that he broke his ankle on, Tom Cruise, he jumps across one building to another, and he broke his ankle, and they finished the shot. That's in the movie, but it's not just that. It's he learned to fly a helicopter, and it's like a 15-minute sequence. So I just want to say again that this movie is a reason why stunt coordinators and crews should be considered for Oscars. I mean, they make action films better. There's a lot of movies that are okay, and then you have movies like John Wick, which I think has great action in it, great stunt work, and then Mission Impossible Fallout, where they should make this. I mean,
I didn't know. I thought it was one of those categories.
No,
it's
not.
You know, they don't include in the award show. For example, they'll do, you know, earlier before the program, presented an Oscar.
Technical awards.
It was some obscure,
technical awards. The separate, smaller ceremony where they give out a bunch of awards nobody cares about. But if you like, I love action movies. I grew up on Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Seagal, Van Damme. I mean, it was just great. But they have taken it up another notch with the stunt work.
Sylvester Stallone said himself to me, said directly to me, that without stunt coordinators and stunt professionals, he would never have been able to make any of his movies, the Rambo movies or anything else. I can play a little bit of the conversation.
Well, go ahead, please.
I had just said to him, I said, you know, Sly, I know you don't do a lot of your stunt work, and there's a lot of action in your movies. Do you think the stunt people should have a category in the Academy Awards? Here's what he said.
Well, yeah, you know, by all means, I think the stunt people should have it. You know, I was listening one time, and Dan Buffa said, you know, he said he should have a category, yeah.
Wow, he even knew your name. Unbelievable.
Wow. He mentioned me by name.
That has to make you feel good.
8 Rocky movies, and he hasn't had that punched out of him yet. But yeah, I mean, it's great stunts. Tom Cruise does every stunt. He jumps between buildings. They'll make more of these movies than they should. They're just, they get better. You don't see a lot of franchises get better and better with each movie. Usually they start to slow down. You start to go, why are they making these movies? But this one just keeps getting better and better.
We're going to leave that movie because we've talked about it a lot. But I want to say this before we move on. Anybody can do this because I did it. Go on YouTube and just type in raw footage Tom Cruise breaking foot.
Oh, it's bad.
I did it.
Oh.
And you actually see it from all the different angles.
It turns.
Right. And you see the cables connected before the computer took them out. So you will see the crew in the background and the actual hit when he hits that thing and limps on across the rooftop to finish the scene.
He was on a British talk show, and I said, why did you do this? Like, I did not want to shoot it again. I didn't want to shoot the part where he gets up and he has to walk away. He walks away limping.
If you watch it on YouTube, you'll actually see the cameras are still rolling, so you see them help him away go to hospital.
He winces. And I swear in the movie you can hear some kind of a break because he jumps. And in the live shot, you see the cables that are attached to him when he jumps across. But my gosh, man.
And the cables aren't lifting it. They're there in case he falls.
Yeah, he doesn't fall and just fall to his death. They're basically there to prevent him from falling all the way.
No, he does the jump, building the building.
But they don't stop his weight. Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
That was me.
Tom Cruise took over.
Sorry.
What?
Yeah, that was me. I pulled something up on my computer.
Oh, man.
Take it out.
Hold on.
Dan, hold on. Take it out. Just take it out. Get rid of it. Take it out.
Radio edit.
Okay, and on to what's next.
Well, what opened on Friday was this quirky true story with Joaquin Phoenix. It's called Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot. Back in, I want to say, the 80s, John Callahan was an alcoholic. And he couldn't stop drinking. He got into a bad car accident.
Is this true?
True story. He became a quadriplegic. And he basically thought, I'm done. I have no use for my life. But then he started drawing these political cartoons that just got published everywhere.
What, his mouth?
No. He was a
quadriplegic.
No, he was able to use one hand. He was able to draw with one hand. He was able to do that. But he drew these cartoons, and it basically talks about his healing, his sobriety. He still wanted to drink, even though he got in a terrible car accident that changed his life. He wanted to drink. But this movie,
I would too. I'm not kidding.
It's directed by Gus Van Sant, who did Good Will Hunting. He did Terms of Endearment. But it's one of those movies based on a book written by John Callahan. And the whole idea of the title is that one of his cartoons was a bunch of drifters in the desert. And they come up to this wheelchair and they go, well, don't worry, he won't get far on foot. So they took that as the title of his book and the title of the movie. It's got Jonah Hill plays his sponsor, his AA sponsor.
I don't like Jonah Hill.
He's good in this, though. It's not a Jonah Hill performance. He has a beard. He has long hair. It's not the typical prankster.
Chubby, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the prankster Jonah Hill. He plays a real guy who helped John Callahan recover his life because this guy... You got to think, all he had to live for was basically walking and driving and get booze, and then he got in a car with a guy, and he got a wreck, and he thought he had nothing to live for.
So what did he do for a living, John Callahan?
He just basically went from job to job. Before he got in the accident, he went from job to job. Then he became a highly paid guy. I mean, the New Yorker publishes cartoons, newspapers, magazines, they published it.
So he never had a real career until he was a quadriplegic.
Until he really almost lost his life. And Jack Black has a good role in it. Rooney Mara plays his nurse. Rooney Mara, who I think is very pretty and can act.
I don't know her. What's her name?
Rooney Mara. She is Kate Mara's sister. Mm. She was in the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake.
Okay.
Rooney. She's been in a few movies. She was in she hasn't really, not really a household name yet, but she's good. She plays a nurse who helps out John. But this movie.
Wait a minute. What was that?
That wasn't me.
Dad?
That was me again. Yes.
Damn it, Dan.
What are you doing?
I'm not doing it.
I don't know. There was something pushed on the board.
He's getting around
there.
Is Stallone back there in control? Hey.
Oh.
Take it out. I don't want people to hear that.
What's going on?
Take it out.
Radio edit.
So I'm not familiar with, what's her name? Rooney, whatever.
Rooney Mara.
Yeah.
She's been around. She's been in a couple, I'd say, bigger movies, but she's just one of those pretty girls who can act.
Well, if Joaquin Phoenix is in it, I've not seen much that he's done that I didn't like. He's a terrific
guy. Really good, yeah. and he really gets into this character because you don't really... He's kind of the leading actor character here where you don't really... He does a lot of things you don't approve of. He's not really a nice person. He kind of says a lot of mean things to people, and then he gets in this accident, and he thinks that something should be handed to him, and he has to... You know, get sober. He has to find a new meaning in life, and he does that by writing these cartoons. And these cartoons were controversial. I mean, he would take a stand on women's rights and politics, and people would walk up to him in the street and go, "That cartoon's terrible." And then somebody else would go, "That cartoon's great." But he really got under people's skin, and this kind of saved his life, drawing these controversial cartoons. But he was a guy who just found his life after he almost lost it.
Okay, here's my problem. It sounds to me like we already know the whole movie. There's no surprise.
You got to go watch the acting. There are surprises in there. There's a lot of great scenes between Jonah Hill and Phoenix. If you're going to watch this movie, watch it for the acting. It's got top flight acting.
Okay, how many ARDs?
Because at the end of the year, I'll say that at the end of the year, you're going to be hearing about this. The movie as a whole has its problems, but the acting makes it great.
Okay.
I'd say a solid 3. It could go up, but if I watch it again, but the acting makes this very, very good.
All right,
good
3 ARDs. Here they come.
All right, Dan.
And it's called again.
Don't worry, he won't get far on foot. That was one of his most popular cartoons.
I like his brother, Running Phoenix.
Dan, we've done that joke at least 10 times.
Yeah.
At least 10 times. Take that out.
Trotting Just Phoenix?
Take it out. No, take it out. Edit it out.
Galloping Phoenix?
Take it out.
Radio edit.
Okay, what's next?
Speaking of Joaquin Phoenix, it is now official. It's been kind of a rumor for a while. He is going to play the Joker. And it's going to be directed by the Hangover director. This is the problem I have with this. Number one, they're doing the Joker again. They should have stopped with Heath Ledger because he was the best Joker.
Absolutely.
And then you have Jack Nicholson. Two great Jokers, but then Jared Leto played him in Suicide Squad. He's getting his own movies. And now Todd Phillips, who I think, you know, look, he's directed Old School, The Hangover, funny movies. He wants to do a Joker movie. But Joaquin Phoenix wants to do this movie. I'm up in the air about it. It's one of those news things where you go, they're going to have to be, give me a completely different take. Maybe they go, but, you know, one thing they haven't done, Frank, with the Joker is tell you how he got the way he was.
Well, but didn't
maybe they'll do that?
Didn't Heath Ledger's character tell you how he got his?
It was he told a bunch of characters in that movie different stories about how he got the scars, but you never got the true story.
Okay.
So maybe Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix will give us that, but I'm skeptical about it.
What was the actual name of the Batman movie where Heath Ledger was the Joker?
The Dark Knight. One of the best movies.
When that movie came out, I actually came on the air and I was able to do a really pretty good Joker, Heath Ledger Joker, but I need to see it again. I've seen it about 3 times. If I watched it again and tried it with that smack.
No, you go, Frank, I'm like a dog chasing a car.
Yeah.
When I get to it, I don't know what to do with it.
And you smack.
I know. Yeah. He told Batman, you know what? They'll cast you out. You're like a leper when they're done with you.
There's a scene where he meets the really pretty girl.
He goes, oh, look at you. You're so beautiful.
Yeah. He's creepy.
He walks up and he's kind of fixing his hair and he goes, oh, you got a little fight in here.
Yeah, like he licks his fingers to slick his hair back. He's butt ugly.
Yeah, he does
fixing
that.
His hair.
And the thing about that scene where he comes out of the elevator and kind of crashes Bruce Wayne's party is that Michael Caine, the reaction on his face when he came out of the elevator was pure shock, and that was real. He didn't know what Ledger was going to do. Nolan didn't say, okay, once you come out of the elevator, do the shotgun, and then do something. He came out, he said, do what you want. Michael Caine looks petrified.
And didn't Heath Ledger committed suicide, right?
No, he didn't commit suicide. He just overdosed. He didn't. He took too much medication. These guys, they don't understand.
Okay.
Prescription medication is kind of strong. You can't just take it. He took like pain medication, sleeping meds. He was a druggie, so he took drugs and he did a lot of that stuff. So
I never saw anything else he did, but I'm gonna tell you that Joker performance.
It's great.
Woo.
And
he was in the movie with
the Brokeback Mountain thing.
Something. Brokeback Mountain. He was an Australian guy playing a cowboy. He was the best part about that movie.
No, he was in. What is
10 Things I Hate About You?
He was in Lords of Dogtown
with Mel Gibson about the
Patriot.
The Patriot.
He played his son. Yeah, it was good. He played Billy Bob Thornton's son in Monsters Ball. Another very good small.
I don't even remember that. I don't think I saw it. I guess I saw it. I don't remember.
Billy Bob Thornton played the world's worst dad in Monsters Ball, and Heath Ledger's character in that movie committed suicide.
You can't mention him. If you mention him, you get me doing this. Yep. I can't stop it.
Yeah.
I can't quit.
Just say that he was the father of the Joker.
He was the father of the Joker. He told me to say it. Mm. All right, Dan.
Can you imagine a movie with Billy from Sling Blade and Joker's, he's like, what's wrong with your voice? Why do you like tater tots so much?
You know one of the things I'm proud of in my life? Do it again. Go ahead.
You know better than that. You ought not say that word.
You know better than that. You ought not say that word. One of my proudest things I'm proud of myself is something I done when I was on the phone with the Billy Bob. And this actually came up this weekend with my sons. Because they love to talk about the fact that I think the greatest line ever was one of my sons says, Dad, you don't understand. You're the closest thing to a celebrity we'll ever have in our family.
Regionally famous.
So the Billy Bob thing came up. And I have to tell you, it was a roll of the dice because he's on the phone. And I had been told, do not mention Sling Blade and Carl. He's on to promote his band, the Boxmasters, or whatever they're called.
Yep.
And so I just took a chance. I just took a breath. I thought, okay, let's go. Let's see what happens. And I said that to him, I said, I've been told not to do this, what I'm about to do, but I can't help it because my Carl is that good, and I have to do it so that you know it's that good. And to his credit, and I was ready for click, the hang up.
That was it.
He stayed with me. He said, you know, let's hear it. So I done it for him. It ain't got no gas in it. You got anything good to eat in there? You know, just some lines from it. They turned me loose from a nervous hospital. And he said, didn't he, Dan? It's the absolute best he ever heard. And then he does it with me.
He did it with you.
Yes, he and I are talking to each other like this back and forth. You can't tell one from the other one. It sounded the same.
And they said that he never does Carl. He did say.
Can I tell you, I've never seen him do Carl anywhere in any interview, but he did it with me on the phone. My crowning shining moment.
And I will say, usually when he does interviews for his music, he doesn't want to talk about movies.
No, he doesn't. And he's one of these guys, though, that
and he gets thinks, mad.
But he
mad.
Does, and he thinks that anybody cares that he's got a band. No, we don't. We don't care. We don't care that Bruce Willis plays
the
harmonica.
Russell Crowe has a band. Yeah, nobody cares because he's bad.
Yeah, nobody. We don't care about the Boxmasters.
But we had to talk to one of the guys in the Boxmasters. We had to talk to one of them, like the guitar player or something, for a while.
And nobody cared
about that. And then Billy Bob came on, and then we started. We talked a little bit about the band, which kind of smoothed them
over. Well, we had to. Here's what a lot of people don't realize. When you get an interview, sometimes it comes with specific instructions. Yeah. And our instructions were, you will talk to the guitar player. There was another band member. We had to, or you don't get the interview.
Sometimes they give you a sheet of questions.
I won't do that. No, every time I've been given that, I say, I don't want the interview. I'm not doing that.
He should have done what the Joker said, Batman, that you're only as important as they allow you to be.
We didn't have that, but Billy Bob actually was very, very nice.
He couldn't have been nicer about it.
For Billy Bob. And we share I share a birthday with Billy Bob.
That's a great story.
August 4th.
It wasn't fair. It just wasn't fair that Forrest Gump got to be with a woman and Sling Blade didn't.
I agree.
Sling Blade should have at least had that one night with someone. Forrest Gump at least had that one night.
The only reason
it
that
should have been with that little boy's mother.
Well, exactly.
The only reason she came back to Forrest was because he got rich. Jenny returned.
It's American Dream. That's what I'm hoping for.
That's right. Hey, honey, I found some shrimp. Jenny, come on back.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you. I think Carl should have gotten laid before we went back to the Nut House.
Yeah, yeah. Sling Blade,
oh,
too.
He died at the end. Now he's too late.
And then, well, then, but he didn't. He went back to...
He died at the end.
No, Carl didn't. Oh,
no.
My goodness.
Forrest Gump didn't die at the end either, did he?
No, he did not.
If Billy Bob would do a sequel to Sling Blade, oh, my goodness, I'm there. I'm in the front row. I'm ready.
He could do it.
He can move in.
I don't think he will.
He can move in with Forrest. And then they can
now you got a movie.
They have made sequels 10 to 20 years later.
You know what? Tim's got an idea here. Tim, I said Tim Buffo just before the news. Yeah. I know better. But cool. I think now we got a movie. We got Forrest Gump rooming with Carl.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dan Woodburn.
Forrest Gump, and they can talk about like what kind of women they want to come over.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump, we'll get us some crack hoes. I got black ones.
I like a woman with big boobs on her.
I like to get me a fat one and a red one.
Tom Hanks might do this, too. Tom Hanks and Billy Bob should get together
and
do this.
You know what? Tim and I could send in
a demo.
It's like a song demo.
Yeah.
Here's what we think this great movie could sound like. Let's do an improv scene right now. We've just signed a lease. And we're rooming together, and we're just moving in. It's move-in day.
Hi, I'm your landlord. Here's your lease.
No, you're not in it, Sly.
Oh.
Okay. Well, we finally got us a place to live. I hope there's a place nearby here to serve biscuits and gravy. I love biscuits and gravy. Anything good to eat in the cabinets.
Pop on another girl like Jenna, you're going to have to hit the bricks, boy.
She was a good one. Did you do it with her?
I just did that one time.
I've never done it with a girl. I bet it feels good. Everybody says it does.
Well, maybe you should try it with the boy first, then. And leave your hands off my Jenny.
Are you saying to do it with you?
Well.
I'm not doing that.
If we turn the lights off.
Before I do that, I'll kill you with a sling blade, just like I did my mom and that boy. I'll kill you deader than dead, and I'll be back in the nervous hospital. Don't you ever say that to me again. You understand me?
I'm going
to
say it again, because you can't catch me.
There it is. There's your demo. That's
pretty good. Definitely couldn't catch Forrest Gump. Because he can run.
Well, yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, what else do we have?
That's it.
That's it.
No, and that's not it. It's just, I need a, that was good. That was an improv scene. We need to make sure, Limey, we need to cut that audio, send it to Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get right on that.
You know what I would like to do, though? You know how sometimes they dub in... After the fact, for example, if it's to run on Lifetime Channel, and Dan always brings up the Die Hard, where he goes, Yippee-ki-yay, they've changed it to Yippee-ki-yay, Melon Farmer. Well, it's ridiculous, but they need to dub it in. I would love, I don't care what it would pay, to get called and go, we need to redo Sling Blade,
and
Billy Bob is not available, he's got laryngitis.
Put it on TBS?
Yeah, and would you just dub in these, oh my goodness, I'd love to do that.
Those guys make good money, too.
I would like to do it, and I would like to get paid good.
Like the people that, when they put the American films on overseas, they have to do the whole dialogue for the American actor.
Right.
They make some good money. But, you know, before we wrap up the movie segment, I want to say something about James Gunn. And,
I don't know who that is.
The director of Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. Okay. On July 20th, Disney fired him for old tweets.
He's a St. Louisan.
He's a St. Louis boy. He was kind of a nobody before he got in
tweets.
2014.
How old were the tweets?
Old. And the story was is that these tweets were involved, you know, this is a pedophile-like statements. He was an amateur comedian. He didn't do any of this stuff. He just tweeted some very bad things years before he made Guardians of the Galaxy. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, Disney, right as Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is done and the script's finished, ready to shoot, they go, no, we're going to fire you. And I think it was for the political tweets that he put out, because he's very, he's a big liberal.
Okay, but do you know what the tweets were?
The ones that he was in trouble for, man, some were just kind of nasty.
But can you give us an idea?
Let's just say that he wanted to fondle something and this and that. It was, people attached it to being the pedophilia. Essentially.
Was it obviously meant to be funny?
It was meant to be funny.
And it was obviously, to most people, a joke.
A joke. But all of a sudden, Disney has said, well, these old tweets before we hired you, and let me understand that Disney will vet a director or an actor before they hire them.
Disney now is in the business of adult foul language.
They are.
They're hypocrites.
The timing of this firing, I just don't understand it. And now the cast and crew, they've signed a petition. They want to get him back. I don't think James Gunn did anything wrong. He put out some stupid tweets that he should have deleted a long time ago. But why
bring him up now?
Why now, after he's finished directing and you're going to make
big
your
movies.
Money?
Yeah,
after
two big
you
movies.
Got your money coming in.
The timing means that somebody in Disney, a sponsor of Disney, an investor, squeezed them and said, look, he's kind of going after Trump. He's saying some stupid stuff. We need to fire him, dig something up on him, and somebody dug these up.
We got to stop this. We have to stop punishing people for things that aren't that big a deal or for things that happened years ago.
It's just stupid.
First of all, here's what James Gunn tweeted. Here's were the two things that got him the most trouble. One was when he said, I like when little boys touch me in my silly place.
Okay.
That was one. The second one was, and this is pretty rough, he said, the best thing about being raped is when you're done being raped, and it's like, whew, this feels great not being raped. Stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it's highly offensive. Now, here's what blows me away. There have been three Major League Baseball players, including Josh Hader from Milwaukee, the pitcher for Atlanta who almost threw a perfect game Sunday, Newcomb, and there's one more, and all three of these guys have made racist and homophobic tweets that are like 7 years old.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
And horrible, like when they were teenagers, when they were 15, 16, right. 17, making racist things, talking about the KKK and talking about white hoods. If you know that you've done that, all you got to do is delete your Twitter account. Nobody, because they can dig this stuff up, years and years and years down the road.
Hold on, can you do that?
Yeah,
you
can.
Oh yeah.
All
you have to do is type the name of the person,
but here's the thing.
Like,
I'll bet you they don't even remember they did it. When you're a kid and a teenager and you write dumb shit, you don't remember that.
What people are doing now is they're going through all these athletes' Twitter accounts. The Milwaukee pitcher got busted while he was pitching in the All-Star game. This Atlanta pitcher got busted right after he almost threw a no-hitter on Sunday. And there was another guy, I think he plays for Washington, who had done something. And it's like these fans wait for something big to go down this guy's career, and then they try and, like,
Josh Hader gave up a home run in the All-Star game, and then all of a sudden everybody just went after him.
Yeah,
and it's like John Lester of the Cubs just said, look, before you're a baseball player, you're a player in sports, delete your
what happened,
delete it.
What happened to balance? What happened to taking a look? Let's make a list. All the good things. And then over here, a couple of dumb, bad things somebody did. Mistakes outweigh everything good you
did? It's just, I just don't get it. And look, you know, when you have monsters like Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein that have done terrible things, why are we coming down on James Gunn? They should rehire him. They should avenge a bad mistake. And
the hypocrites are trying to make themselves look like somebody they're not.
It's really a bad look.
Disney
really
went from being the company that would only hire squeaky clean people to doing things that made money.
I mean, he tweeted these things. Now, if he just did this like a couple months ago,
then
fire him. But years before he worked for you, it stinks. It stinks, and they should rehire him and really come out and say, we made a mistake. Just let him finish the trilogy.
All right, we have another segment with you. Are you finished with
that's it. That's all I got.
All right, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We have a temporary theme song for Dan Buffa's Uber segment. I chose it myself, and then we'll just be thinking about this, and maybe we'll come up with a permanent one, or maybe this will be permanent. So let's take a quick break. We come back. He's going to tell us an Uber story, because he's an Uber driver, and he drives a lot, and you can't pick up people with the frequency he does and not have some stories. Of course, no real names, but you just can't do it without some characters getting in your car. Aminis. What can I tell? I'm trying to think of something to tell you that I haven't told you to get you into Amini's if you've never been there. Because if you've been there, I don't have to tell you to go back. You'll go back. This is not a store you go into one time. It's like a Dorito nacho cheese chip. When they used to have the campaign, it was Lay's that had the campaign, bet you can't eat just one. Well, that's my problem with nacho cheese Doritos, and that's why there's not a bag of them in my house, because the bag wouldn't last 15 minutes. I'd eat the whole thing. Amini's is kind of like that. If you go into Amini's, you're going to be shocked and stunned, in a good way, at the things you see that you've never seen altogether in any other store. And when you leave, you're already thinking about going back. And something will happen that will remind you of Amini's. You'll see a scene in a movie, and they're playing pinball or an arcade game or a commercial, and people sit down in this luxurious patio furniture. It'll make you think of Amini's, and you'll go back. The other reason people go back is the first time they go in, they never expected to lock on to something and be drawn to it and think, oh, my goodness, I would love to have this downstairs in our whatever room. And maybe it's a jukebox, and you forgot how hypnotic Wurlitzer bubble jukeboxes are. Maybe it's a pool table, and it reminds you of the hours and hours and hours of fun you had with Uncle Benny or with somebody you knew that had a pool table. And when you'd go to their house, you remember how great it was. It's something almost everybody can do. Except little bitty kids, you know them ripping the felt. But a pool table is actually a very simple thing. If you have the room for it, years and years and years of fun. No lights to replace, no solenoids, no electronic parts, a pool table. But you want a good one. You want a slate table. You don't want to settle for anything other than slate. And they're not nearly as expensive as you think they are. Good ones. Amini's has them. Now let's get to the big category, patio furniture. In this town, in St. Louis and the surrounding area, we have two and a half at least great months left to sit outside. In fact, better patio weather coming than we're probably going to have here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's just barely August. August tomorrow. It's still got some miserable hot weather and bugs. But man, it's into September, October, all the way up to November. Get yourself a fire pit. Sit outside. It's a little chilly at night. It's the best. And they sell the best patio furniture made in the world. Folks, if you've never been to Amini's, I am inviting you, urging you, not begging, I don't beg, but you'll be glad you did. Can't miss it. Copper Top in the heart of Chesterfield Valley. It's down in the valley.
Valley so low, hang your head over, hear the wind blow.
Thank you so much, everybody. I didn't expect that applause. Thank you.
Down in the valley, A-M-I-N-I-S, Aminis.com.
Time for a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Pepto-Bismol. Accident cleared southbound 55 at Gravois. You do have delays eastbound 70 from Tucker to the Poplar Street Bridge. Eastbound 64 lining up Compton to the Poplar and volume southbound 270 Ladue to Doherty Ferry. Traffic's brought to you by Pepto-Bismol. Reporting 4590 The Fan, I'm Tori Lyons. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
First, let's talk about the appetizers before we let you know where you can feast on them. When was the last time you had not just any stuffed mushroom, but stuffed jumbo mushrooms with Alaskan blue crab meat? How about pan-seared Greek saganaki fried cheese or thinly sliced beef tenderloin carpaccio with olive oil and a white truffle on top? That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin. You know the place located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner 7 days a week and serving only USDA prime beef. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside than a beautiful dining room with a service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
At thehomeloanexpert.com, we underwrite, close, and fund all of our own loans, and that means we can make a loan for about anyone. So what are you waiting for? Start saving now and apply online today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
It's our first day to officially include the second segment with Dan Buffa, the Uber segment, Uber Stories, because he's an Uber driver. So this is Cars by Gary Newman, right?
Yep, this is Gary Newman.
I don't like it. That didn't work. I know we all agreed to try it, but we're going to have to come up by next week with a different driving song or car song.
Maybe you can drive my car.
But he's not letting people drive his car. I'm trying to think of something that, that talks about driving somebody around. We'll get it. We'll get it by next week.
There's
but it
the
is.
Cars does. They do a song called.
It's called Drive. Drive, but we tried that off the air, and it's just too slow and yeah, I love the song.
Yeah,
you can do Riding the Storm Out by REO Speedway.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Riding the Storm Out. They're riding with Dan.
Let's try that.
How about this one? This is David Hasselhoff.
Sure can't get in storm.
To get into my car. This is David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff.
Okay, no, he's a big hit in Germany.
Jump in my car.
Hey, hold on. Okay, you know what? Hold on here.
Do you pee standing up?
There you go. That's a good one.
You know what? That fits, though. Jump in my car.
Who's next? Eric Estrada. Why don't you pull up an Eric Estrada one after that?
I imagine it's him running towards my car in, like, bathing gear.
No, it's not. But I watched the video. But the point is, it says, jump in my car. You know, okay, forget that it's him. But then you don't know it's him. You know,
that adds to it. It's funny.
It's your segment. If you don't like it, we won't. We'll come up by next week with something. So what's your Uber story for the week?
I have a couple. Now, last week we had the guy that basically stumbled in my car. He spilled some stuff. He wouldn't get out. I almost had to call the cops.
This was that smelly concoction.
Yeah, it was like a smelly expired Indian food that he spilled in my car. And I was just worried. You know,
I did not mean to spill it. It was a mistake.
I'm sorry, but that smelly brown stuff in your seat. Bye-bye.
You had a bump in the road and it just flipped out of the container.
Just dropped me off in the nearest corner. But, you know, I was concerned about my car, but I was also concerned about myself. You know, it's like people say, you don't know what's going to get in your car every time you pull up. But this past week, I get a lot of drama in my car. You know, you get a lot of people that are by themselves, but the best rides are when there's just like three or four people, and they're arguing, and they're drunk, and they're loud. Man, the stuff you find out. So I get a couple in my car last week.
Have you ever had just a smoking hot woman get in the car and close the door and from the back seat say, I would give anything if I could just see a man's penis?
Never like that. Uh-huh. But there's been some smoking hot girls in the car. Uh-huh. Few and far between. I would say that usually you get groups of guys, you get the groups of girls, and they're all getting ready to go out drinking, or they've all been drinking. But it's funny, at the beginning of the night when I start, I get the ones that are going to get drunk, and at the end of the night, I get the ones that have been drunk. And I got to say, the drunk crowd is just, it's full material. So I pick up a couple outside Ballpark Village, and last week, I pick them up, and I can tell they're fighting. I mean, they're crossing the street back and forth, yelling at each other. And
you
I
realize
go,
what you just did? Something was very clever. Ballpark Village, and right off the bat. See what you did there? Bat, ball.
Bat, right off
you didn't
the
even
bat.
Know you
look
did
at
it.
I didn't even know.
That's
look
how
at
clever
that.
You are.
Man. Inadvertently clever. They're fighting, and I'm thinking, is this going to be my ride? Are they going to get in my car and just yell at each other for 15 minutes? They got in my car. And for the first 5 minutes, of course, it's traffic. I'm trying to get to the highway. People don't know how to drive. There's construction everywhere. And they're yelling. And, you know, and for a while, the girl kind of has the upper hand over the guy. He must have done something wrong. And now he's trying to kind of, you know, reel from that and get better. But then all of a sudden, they both start crying. And I'm like,
both of them?
Back there? Both of them just start weeping.
Now it's awkward.
And she has the machine gun tears. Like, and she's like, she's breathing in the back of my neck. And the guy's just like, no. And I'm just like, what do I do? I keep driving. And all of a sudden, the guy goes, what do you think?
And you?
Yeah, to me.
Like you're supposed to take sides?
I'm supposed to just put on my Judge Judy outfit and go, well, you know, after hearing both sides over the last 10 minutes, I think you both need to go to the desert and walk separate ways. But no, I didn't know what to say. I essentially said, well, you know, love is hard. And then they both started crying more, and I just kept driving.
That was your advice?
That was all I had, because I knew the girl had the Uber ride, so I want to get a good rating, so I'm not going to side.
Could have said was, well, ma'am, and excuse me, sir, but I'm not addressing you, love is hard, and so is this.
I think that would be an excellent bumper sticker to place in the back of your car for future colors.
Love is hard.
This happened
love is
here.
Hard.
Yeah.
Love is hard. And if you start fighting, just drink the alcohol.
But I got them to their destination, and I swear this couple broke up. I mean, they right when they, I got to the destination.
Well, you probably didn't give them any hope. You told them it was hard, so they gave up.
Did you drop them off at a house?
I dropped them off at a hotel.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure they had just left a wedding, and I said, look. And before they left, I said, look, you know, sleep on it. You guys might feel differently in the morning. Don't make a decision.
Like your Dr. Phil.
Hey, they asked me, so I, you know, but I needed some time. I didn't think they were going to ask me. All of a sudden, I'm getting off the highway, and he's like, "What do you think?" And I'm like, "Oh, wow, man, she's got the Uber ride."
You should have said, "Sleep on it, and ma'am, if that doesn't work, sleep on this."
That's right. Hey,
can you do a Dr. Phil imitation?
I can't.
Oh, that would be awesome if you could do that.
Oh. I should have just done the Joker. You know, man, love is hard, but you know what? I'm available.
That's not a good Joker. Don't do that.
No, that's a bad Joker.
That's a bad Joker. But if you could do Dr. Phil, that would be awesome. Dr. Phil Uber.
You people need to just think about what you're doing.
Now, let me tell you something. Before you puke in his lap, okay, you need to decide whether or not you're going to continue this relationship.
Yeah, they'll never want to ride with you again.
Work on. Yeah, that's great.
You get a 2 rating.
That's your best story?
No. No. There was another one on Saturday night, usually around Wheelhouse and Tin Roof. That's called Drunk Haven, around 3 a.m. in the morning. And I pick up 3 guys, and I swear the guy in the front was, like, you know, hurricane drunk, like very bad. The 2 guys in the back weren't as drunk. He gets in the car, and he immediately falls over next to me, and he goes, "Hi." And I go, "Sir, watch out, man." And
so he leans over on you?
No. He basically fell into the car and leaned on me.
No, I set him right outside.
And I'll tell you what, I've never turned away a ride, but I thought about it. But of course, okay, they get in, we leave, it's fine. You know, usually when you have a bad, bad drunk, you have 2 friends that are with him to keep him right.
Do you want to put his head in your lap? Watch out for that one.
Oh, man. And this is
love is hard.
Here's a really good tip. But we get out of there, and it's crowded, and there's always fights breaking out outside of a Wheelhouse around 3 a.m. But the guy just starts going, you know, every rider wants, I'd say 98% want to know what you do. Hey, what else do you do? Hey, well, you know, you like Uber? Why do you do it? But this guy's right next to me going, "Yeah, so you like to drive, do you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm driving you right now." Mm-hmm. And his friends are like, "No, just don't respond." But, you know, I don't listen to them. I keep responding. Because I think it's fun. You see people when they're just out of it. And this guy gets more crazy. He's like, "You know what? I want White Castles." And the friends go, "No." And they go, "You know, I've taken people to White Castle before. I've taken people to fast food. I'll do it."
Especially, well, you're a different driver than I. First of all, I wouldn't pick anybody at 3 o'clock in the morning. Anywhere. I just wouldn't.
But that's when the money is. That's when people are leaving. That's when the bars close. That's when Soulard's shutting down.
That's a good point.
But, you know, I just get... And then later tonight, I got... loud girls. I will say, I've driven 1,600 rides as of this last week in 1 year. 1,600 rides. I got a 4.96 rating. And that is because, man, the best thing to do if you're an Uber driver is just be quiet and let them be loud and let them do their thing as long as they don't puke, which I have not. Knock on wood. This is wood. No puke yet. I have had 3 close calls. 1 girl I had to whip off the side of Hampton, and she laid a pile of puke on the side of the road. But she was good, though. She was just like, "Pull over." And I was like, "Oh, that's all I need to hear." I have the button, my hand on the unlock button. So I turned off the street, and she did that. But overall, I will say this. The girls are the loudest. The guys are the most annoying because, gosh, you think you're confident when they're not drinking. They are super confident when they are. But I got to say, this last week, the breakup in the back of the car was one of the best. And it just tells you the things you experience
everything. And I say you caused it because of bad advice. Love is hard. You should have said, "You know what? Love seems hard, but it's really not."
No, I kind of wanted to cause more chaos. But then, you know, I think it was kind of quietly siding with her because I think she was the one that wanted to break it off and he wanted to keep it going. So, and she had the ride, so I'm thinking, okay, she's going to give me the rating and the tips. Like, I'm going to side with her.
I do believe women are more likely to rate you than guys are. I do. They're better about that.
Yeah,
survey thing.
Well, you know, and some people just don't tip. And they don't do the rating. I guess they get the notification.
In the beginning,
Uber
said no tipping. In the very beginning, no tips.
They didn't have it on the app. Now they have it on the app. But I swear, people use cash a lot more. They don't want to do it on the card or on the app. They just go, "Look, can I just give you cash?"
And like,
yeah,
a lot of times, is it not true the guy wants to impress the girl by, "Here, pal, Yeah. $20.
Well, yeah. One time I took this couple out to Hot Shots.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
And she was like, this is a really clean car. Here's $20. I was like, go in the vacuum right now. Again, keep it really pristine.
What kind of car do you pick them up in?
I pick them up in a Hyundai Elantra 2017. So it's kind of a small, compact sedan. But they like it. I keep it clean. But
I get you in an Impala from Londo.
There you go.
That'll impress them. All right.
I got you.
We'll do this again next week.
That's it. All right. More Uber tales for
Dan
now.
Dan Buff, everybody. He'll be back next week with movie stuff and another Uber story or two. And please remember, he's brought to you by Window World. Window World makes a lot of segments possible on this show. And they're able to afford to do that because you tell them your AM and the PM and you include them when you're trying to make a decision about what replacement window to put in your house. And I think most of you decide to go the same way that most of America goes. That's why it's the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Window World, more at Window.